Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and earned a public accounting degree from Michigan State University and a law degree from the University of Detroit Mercy. For the last 35 years, he's been offering insurance services throughout America. And since 2013, he's been the founder and president of Lavasco Consulting Group, which specializes in insurance employee benefits and retirement services. His name, Gene Lavasco. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Gene Lavasco, a man I really admire. Gene, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's great to be here.
In honor of your mom and dad and your in-laws, would you lead us in an opening prayer tonight?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jack Krasula and WJR and the Great Lake Voice. We thank you for everything you've given to us, our parents, especially my parents and my in-laws, for the blessings that they've bestowed upon their 22 children in combination. We ask you to continue to bless their offspring so that they can all do great work for society. We ask you to bless those who do not have the fortunes and the goodness of things that you've given us. And we ask you to bless those individuals in your son's name. Amen.
Let's talk about your dad, John Lavasco, who just turned 90 years old.
Yeah, my dad is, you know, an incredible man. He's been an incredible mentor to me. His parents were immigrants from Italy back in 1903. He was born in 1929. He was born as an identical twin, and his identical twin passed away when he was around 24. My dad was in the produce business, hurt his back at about the age of 27, and had a decision to make of what industry he was going to go into, and he chose the insurance industry. But I think more critical than the professional choice he had to make, he had to make a choice of, you know, what type of lifestyle he was going to have. So I think there was a point in his life when he had, I'm not going to say wayward, but I had one of my clients say to me, "Gene, I knew your dad before he was a saint." And, you know, he met my mom.
No, he knew your dad before he married a saint.
That is correct, Jack.
Oh, sorry.
Because my mom was the saint before my dad. And I really think, you know, we're all called to be saints, but I look at my mom and dad and say, you know, those two people are special people who've lived special lives and are worthy in that to be called that.
How did they meet?
So they were at a May crowning of the Blessed Mother, and my mom was the one that was crowning the Blessed Mother, and my dad saw her and said, "That is a special woman, and I want to get to know her." And they courted for a short period of time, and she led my dad back on the straight and narrow, so to speak.
And 10 children later, you have two older sisters. You're the third oldest. You're the oldest son. Talk about the brothers and sisters.
So it's a, you know, it's an amazing group of people. I'm fortunate to have 9 siblings. There were 6 boys, 6 girls, 4 boys. You know, there's 7 and 7 years, so we're all packed in there nice and tight. And it's an amazing it's amazing to grow up in that large of a family with that much diversity. You know, we've got right brain people, we've got left brain people, we've got Republicans, we've got Democrats, we've got artists, musicians, you know, it runs the gamut. But we all love each other and we all respect each other. You know, I'll give you an example. Last night we're planning for care for my father's because he's in end of life stages. And we just had the most remarkable hour and a half conference call about planning his care for the month of August. and everyone is contributing and everyone's making use of the talents that they have to support my mom and dad. So I've been blessed with some extraordinary siblings.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, and what's the biggest thing, Gene, you've learned from Mom?
Let's start with Mom, because she's an extraordinarily talented individual who is a great delegator. I mean, could you imagine making meals for, you know, 12 people every single night? She would delegate. You know, you're doing this, you're doing this. She'd have the chore list going. You know, someone's helping, you know, with prepare for dinner. Someone's setting the table. After dinner, someone's clearing the table. Someone's loading the dishwasher. Someone's sweeping the floor. It was like, you know, running a small company. And she would do that in a loving, kind, and patient way. The other thing about my mom is she had a unique ability to draw the best out of her kids. You know, she gave you great guidance, career guidance, personal guidance, and she taught us how to be loving, kind, and gentle to other individuals. Never a bad word, never a condescending comment. She's just always uplifting and always there for us.
Dad.
So, you know, my dad was the disciplinarian, but he was also, I'll use the word, a grinder. I mean, he would get up early, you know, 5:30. He'd go to Mass every morning. He'd be out calling on clients. He'd be home for dinner every single evening. We'd say the rosary after dinner. And then he'd sometimes go out and make additional calls to his clients. So he was working hard to support those 10 kids.
Let's just repeat what you just said. Every night after dinner, the 12 of you, whether they were 8 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old, 18 years old, every night you said the rosary as a family.
It was it's a very, very powerful prayer. And my dad didn't care if we had, you know, there was no, we have this activity or that activity. We all had those activities, but you didn't mess with the family dinner hour, nor did you mess with, you know, Sunday morning, because we had, you know, family mass as a family. We'd go into St. Joan of Arc, we'd take the whole roll. But people would stop by after dinner and we'd say, hey, we're going to go play basketball. My dad was like, bring him into the house, we're going to say the rosary, then you can play basketball. Well, he doesn't know the rosary. Dad, that's okay. We'll teach him the rosary, right? So it was a family tradition that lasted, and it's lasted for them up until this day.
Every time I'm around your mom and dad, you know, and your dad's bigger than life, I always think as I leave that your mom is the wind beneath his wings.
So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength.
I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Gene Lovasco, who has spent 35 years in the insurance industry and is a leader throughout America in the industry. So you mentioned in the previous segment that your dad worked in the produce business, and then he started selling life insurance to the customers. How and why?
Well, he had a back injury, couldn't lift the crates of produce. So he said, I've got to get into a business that I can continue to sell. He looked around the metropolitan area, and there was a guy by the name of Chuck Davey. Chuck was a world-class boxer, and Chuck recruited him to start selling life insurance with New England Life. And he's, you know, he's a very outgoing individual. He loves people and loves to mix it up. And he found the industry to be compelling. And I think what also motivated him was his father died when he was 2 years old. So really didn't have that financial guidance and or the resources growing up. When his father died, he and his brother and his mom moved in with his sisters. So he saw the need for insurance. He saw that people that didn't have it, who have that type of situation come about, needed those resources. So he was passionate about it. And then when his identical twin brother died, same thing. You know, the life insurance policies can be very, very powerful protectors of financial resources for people.
You then got licensed in 1977 at age 18. And in 1986, you joined up with Dad. And soon thereafter, your brother, John, a great friend. I've always said that John Lovasco Jr. is like Ed Reimer, the old, you're in good hands with Allstate.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
just got a way about him, Gene.
Yeah, yeah. So my brother John is a tremendous individual. We had a great partnership for a long time. But, you know, my dad didn't say, hey, I want you to come in the business. I want you to be involved. I just saw how passionate he was about it. I enjoyed watching him when I was growing up. And I said, you know, I did a little intern with him when I was in high school. And his clients, he was nice enough to bring me out to clients. And I'd say, you know, it's a great business. But all of his clients would say, it sounds good. Let me check with my CPA or my attorney. So I said, if I'm going to get into the business, I want to have that background. So I went to work, graduated from Michigan State in accounting, went to work with Arthur Anderson, one of the big eight accounting firms at the time, did my work in tax, and then went to law school. I would just walk across the street at night, went to law school, and got my law degree with the specialization in tax. My dad injured his back again, and he had to have prostate surgery at 52, and he said, look, I really need you to come in and help me with the business. So I left Arthur Anderson after being there long enough to get my CPA designation, finished law school, and joined him in 1983. We grew the business. My brother John joined us in 85. We were fortunate to hook up with guys by the name of Paul Vanderhoven, John Marshall, Mike Kirchner. We formed a company called the Allied Companies and subsequently changed it to Elcos. We bought my dad out when he was 62 because he wanted to do his full-time ministry work. And with the help of all those folks I just mentioned, we grew the company from, you know, probably 12 of us to about 135 employees. And then we sold that company in 2007 to a publicly traded broker called Brown & Brown.
Father Ted Hesburgh, the legendary Notre Dame president, told me that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is action in the face of fear. And one of the most courageous men I've ever met in my life is your dad. So he got involved with the devotion to the Sacred Heart.
Yes, so I talked earlier about his conversion, and I think part of that conversion was, you know, getting back to his roots and his Catholic roots. And one way he did that was through the rosary and the sacraments, but also devotion to the Sacred Heart. And he met a individual by the name of Father Francis Larkin. And Father said, here's a ministry where you can bring Christ into the home and you can have an impact on people. And so he started this ministry called Men of the Sacred Heart about almost 60 years ago now, where he would bring the Pilgrim Virgin, the statue of the Blessed Mother into the home for a week. People would say the rosary. At the end of the week, he would enthrone the home to the Sacred Heart. He'd put a picture up in the home. And then he started recruiting people to do this. And after a while, he had, you know, 40 individuals in pairs of two with 20 statues circulating through southeastern Michigan, spreading devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary. So that was his ministry. At 62, he said, look, I don't want to be in the insurance business anymore. I want to run the Men of the Sacred Heart. So he started that doing that full time in between age, 62 and just up until 6 months ago at 89. That's what he did. He even did it while he was in the insurance business. On Saturday nights, he would be delivering the statue to someone's home. So really an incredible career, both in the insurance business and as a leader of a nonprofit.
He also went to hundreds, if not thousands, of business owners and told them, here's what you've got to do.
Yeah, his whole philosophy was, is you're going to make Christ the head of your family, you're going to make Christ the head of your business, and that's what he did. He enthroned companies like Domino's Pizza, Tom Monahan, Art Van Furniture, Art Van Elslander. The list goes on and on. And then he would also spread devotion to smaller businesses. He would leave the mass cards and prayer cards. You go up and down Mack Avenue, and you're going to see cards, holy cards, and Catholic literature that my dad had placed there, and he would go back. People would take it, and he'd replenish the stock. And it was, he wasn't selling produce or insurance at that time. He was selling the afterlife, and he was very, very passionate about it. And, people love him because of that.
He turned 90 on June 26th.
Yeah.
And on that day, he wrote me his philosophy of life. Gene, would you share your dad's philosophy of life?
Sure, Jack. He says, Dear Jack, today I'm 90 years old. Thank you for inviting me to share my personal philosophy. At 26 years of age, I had a decision to make, my will or God's will. Well, it was not easy, popular. Once I chose God, it was though I was accompanied by a team of angels. I needed help. To help share God's message, I used the following tools: daily Mass and communion, daily rosary with my wife, children, and others, tithing, giving time and treasure to those in need. Today, at 90 years of age, my work here feels complete. Work hard, stay humble, be grateful. I'll see you in heaven. Signed, John Lovasco.
That was read by his son, his oldest son, Gene. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Gene Lovasco. In 2013, he founded, and today is the founder and president of, Lovasco Consulting Group. Gene, tell us about the Lovasco Consulting Group.
So after I sold our company in 2007, I had a non-compete. I stayed with Brown & Brown of Detroit until 2013. And then took a year off as a sabbatical. And my son, Michael, my oldest son, said, hey, Dad, I'm moving back from New York. He was with Deloitte and said, I'd love to get back into business with you. So we started a firm right in downtown Detroit doing three things: employee benefit consulting, retirement consulting, and executive benefit consulting for companies in southeastern Michigan and around the country. And we've had great success. We're located at One Woodward. We've got 16 employees. We've grown the company during that time and just have a really, really strong team doing great work for our clients in the community.
If you want to learn more, www.lovascogroup.com. Lovascogroup.com. Part of your mission statement says, we become a part of your team, champion your success, and take care of the people you care about. So there's 16 of you. 14 of them are millennials. Tell us about millennials, Gene.
Well, I use the term millennials. You can apply it to any age group. You've got to really treat people with respect. You've got to be open-minded. You have to be caring. So if you treat anyone with those attributes, I think you're going to have great success with them. I think millennials are, they're compassionate in the sense that they just don't want to do a job. They want to do a job that has a mission, has value, has purpose. And I think one of the reasons we chose our tagline of taking care of the people you care about, because that tagline says it all. I mean, what we try to do is take care of your employees like they're your family. And if I take care of my employees like that, and if I set that example, and we do that for our clients, and we do that for the community, it's really easy, I think, to motivate millennials or Gen X or Gen Y or baby boomers. So I think you use those same attributes on everyone, and you're going to be just fine.
We're talking to Gene Lovasco. All right, let's talk about the circle of life. You worked for your dad, with your dad, for many years. Now, your oldest son, Michael, works for you, works with you. What's that like?
So it's interesting because my dad and I had a wonderful relationship, but there were generational differences. You know, I would say, Dad, I think that account is too small to work on. It only has, you know, 15 or 20 employees, and we need to be going after clients with, you know, 100 employees. And my son says to me, Dad, that 150-person group is too small. We need to be working on 500 or 5,000-person groups. So I think each generation wants to improve on what the prior generation does. So that's great because that's what progress is. We constantly are trying to get better, and the generations push us forward. I hope his son pushes him the way he pushes me and I pushed my dad. So I think it's just a matter of the give and take between those generations, being able to adjust and accommodate each other so that we're using our best talents and best gifts that God has given us.
Gene Lovasco, what's the biggest thing your son Michael has taught you about the business?
So his perspective has been enriching for me because he worked at Mercer, which was the largest benefit consulting firm in the year, for 2 years. He worked at Deloitte, which is the largest accounting firm, for 3 years. While I had worked at Arthur Andersen, it was more on the tax side. He was doing benefits consulting. So, you know, he has brought a flavor and a richness to our practice in the large case market. And he brought along a wonderful team from Mercer that complemented the things that he was doing there. In fact, they were his mentors there, and they've joined us when we started the business.
All right. Another thing you do is you write down annual goals. There's six categories and three or four goals in each of those categories. So let's talk about a couple of them. Mental goals.
So, you know, that you go back to my mom and what she taught us. My mom was big about writing down your goals and trying to successfully execute those goals. So as a young man, I started writing down my goals, and I did it in really three areas: spiritual, mental, physical. And as I got older, I added financial and social and family. So those three plus three, those are the six categories. You don't always hit your goals, but it just take, you know, you ask about the mental goals. So, you know, I try to read 15 books a year. I try to take new classes or, you know, go online and take a Khan Academy class. Try to read or listen to podcasts. Try to read, you know, newspapers, Wall Street Journal, Forbes, so that I'm constantly expanding the mental dimensions of who I am.
Family goals.
So, you know, you can have a lot of success in life, but if you don't have a strong family, I think it all dissipates. I've seen it happen, you know, with friends, and, you know, you go on and on. So, you know, my dad and mom did a great job of mentoring us in this regard. So for me, the family goals are, you know, family vacations, spending time together. My kids now are, you know, 33, 31 and 29. They're all married. But we still try to have family vacations. We all love to ski together or snowboard. We love to water ski together. We love doing things together. And I think it's, you know, it's incumbent upon the parent to draw their kid back even after they've left the nest, so to speak.
Your wife, Jean, is one of 12. And her mom and dad, Doug and Shirley Riom, are 95 years old. Also an amazing family.
So I am so extraordinarily blessed with these tremendous in-laws. Doug and Shirley are, you know, amazing people. So almost everything that can be said about my mom and dad can be said equally about Doug and Shirley. They raised 12 beautiful kids. You know, all of them have college degrees and or master's degrees. You know, they are probably, I don't know, I think there's 35 grandchildren and 25 great-grandchildren now on that side. And Doug is just a stalwart. He was a very successful insurance man who was, you know, interestingly enough, in the same profession as my dad. Shirley is, you know, again, like my mom in the sense that she was a great delegator. She ran that house with love and care and compassion. And to this day, she still has just a great wit and a wonderful smile. So I couldn't be more blessed to have two great in-laws, Doug and Shirley Riom.
Your mom and your dad and your in-laws really taught you to give back. When we come back, we're going to talk to you about giving back and what you've done. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Gene Lovasco, the founder and president of Lovasco Consulting Group. Gene, you've gotten very involved with Father Tim McCabe, who I met when he was a layperson. He was a Jesuit Volunteer Corps member. Talk to us about Father McCabe and what he's doing now.
So, you know, Father McCabe is just a wonderful human being who has made really a great impact on this city with Pope Francis Center. The Archbishop asked him to be the pastor of St. Peter and Paul, and he noticed that every morning before Mass, there'd be a group of individuals who have not been so fortunate and so blessed to have a home on the front steps of his church. So he went to the Archbishop and said, I really want to open up a homeless shelter. So he opened up a transitional place where people could have breakfast and have lunch and shower and wash their clothes and get a bit of dignity between 7 o'clock and 1 o'clock. And then they close the doors and people can go about their business of the day. Father Tim is such a warm individual, an embracing individual, and he's had such success with this ministry that he is now embarking on building transitional housing and opening up a permanent facility right north of the Eastern Market. They've purchased the land. They're embarking on a capital campaign to build a beautiful new facility for the homeless in southeastern Michigan.
If you want to learn more, www.popefranciscenter.org. Popefranciscenter.org. Homelessness affects over 20,000 people in southeast Michigan. We've got to give back. And you've done a great job, you and Gene, raising money. Another cause. You met a young man, I think through your son, Michael, Derek Aguirre.
So Derek's mentor is a guy by the name of George Haggerty. And George has been a lifelong mentor to me. And he approached me and said, look, I want you to get involved in this cause. We need to help kids in the Detroit area get good college education. And the hook is through squash. And I didn't play squash, but my son plays squash. And I said to my son, look, you need to give back to the community. You need to find a way to do that, and you got to be passionate about it. And I'm not going to choose your passion. So Michael started playing squash at the Detroit Athletic Club. meets Derek, meets George, gets involved in Racket Up Detroit. And although I'm not passionate about squash, I'm passionate about helping people get a good education, and that's what they do. Their class of, I think, 20 kids this year are all attending universities in and around southeastern Michigan and all around the country. So George and Derek have just done an amazing job of helping kids who don't have the means to get to some of these great colleges that they're sending them to.
If you want to learn more, www.racketup.org. They conduct it out of the Northwest Activity Center on Myers Road. It's a combination of squash, academics, service, and mentoring. There's 100 kids involved, and phenomenal program. Speaking of phenomenal, you've also been very involved with the DAC. The thing almost went under, Gene.
Well, you know, we were giving away memberships in the early 80s, and then again in 2008, but you know, any great organization, you have to have great leadership. Ted Galeri and his team have done just an amazing job there. You know, I can't tell you because I don't have the number, but, you know, countless of millions of dollars have been spent renovating the club. But it's really the people that make the club special. You know, there's 3,000 active members. There's probably another 1,000 intermediate members and non-resident members. It's really the lifeblood of the city, and it's a great focal point. And, you know, when you look at who runs the club, there's a professional team that runs it headed up by Ted, but there's also a great board that is just does, you know, fantastic things for the club and really for the city. You know, DAC, we kid it, it says Detroit's Active Citizens. And they, the community leaders in this city, most of them belong to the Detroit Athletic Club. Because it's a great place to help others. It's a great place to work out. It's a great place to socialize and to entertain. It's a wonderful, wonderful club.
Speaking of the lifeblood of the city, you're in the city, you're in downtown every day. What's amazed you the most about the rebirth of downtown?
So I think we were blessed in that we moved our business downtown in 2014. And you think of it, we are just coming out of bankruptcy. The Illiches have just decided to build Little Caesars Arena. Dan Gilbert was amassing his real estate empire. We got a new mayor. Those five things and the help of Roger Penske really ignited the city and set us on a course that we're here today in 2019. Think of what's transpired in the last 5 years. It's absolutely amazing what this city has gone through prior to that and what we've done over the last 6 or 7 years. It's just, it's wonderful to walk around the city, all the new restaurants, all the new businesses. You know, what Woodward was when we had the Super Bowl and what Woodward looks like right now, it's like night and day.
When we had lunch a few weeks ago, one thing you talked about was how much you admire the Illich family, Chris Illich. And they've gotten some negative press recently for reneging on certain promises. Tell us your thoughts about how much they've done for us.
Oh, you know, you think of what the Illich family has done for southeastern Michigan. You know, it's unparalleled as far as other businesses. The support that they've given to the community, the investment, I mean, look at their new facility, the Mike Illich School, the Fox Theater, Comerica Park, LCA. And those are major, major projects. Any one project on its own would be monumental. But taken as a group, you know, it's astronomical. And the effect that those organizations have on this city is countless. And it's really, I think, a testament to Mike and Marianne and Chris and the rest of the family, the foresight. And, you know, everything takes time. So I think some of the criticism that they get is people are impatient and people want it now. But, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight. So I'm sure that the district is going to be built out over time, and I'm sure all these things are going to come to fruition. but people need to be patient as we, you know, we grow into, I think, some of the plans that they have for the city.
Speaking of being patient as they grow into what they should be, just like your mom is the wind beneath the wings for your dad, Gene is likewise for you. Talk about your partner and the person you most admire.
So my wife, Jeannie, is just, she's an extraordinary woman who is really my, she is really the strength behind me. I mean, she ran cross country in college. So she's a dietitian. So she keeps me, you know, trim and fit, and there's no junk food around the house. But she's an amazing woman in that she shares this great sense of hospitality, and she's constantly entertaining, and she's constantly taking care of other people. She's got an amazing sense of love and sense of self-awareness, and she also is just so supportive and encouraging of me and my efforts to do what I do. If I didn't have her behind me, I couldn't do the things that I do. She's there to support me 100% along the way.
Gene Lovasco, you are special. You got a great way about yourself, and keep making Mom and Dad and Doug and Shirley Rion proud and Jeannie proud every day.
Jack, thank you very much. And I thank you for your lifelong friendship and the great things you do for this city.
Thank you. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoh.